So this first song, Brian introduced to me a couple months ago, and it has been stuck in my head for like the last 4 months. So we're going to play it this morning. It's a short song that just celebrates all that God has done. So would you guys sing with us and stand as you guys are able? Sing, Lord, I lift your name.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us.
You came.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way. My debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. So glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us.
Sing, you came.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. Show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Amen. You know, we serve a God that says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So as we sing this next song, let's remember that truth. We sing, Who Am I?
Who am I that the highest King would welcome? I was lost, but he brought me, oh, his love for me, oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I my Father's house is a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Free at last.
Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs while I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Oh, the sun sets free. Oh, he's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I Father's house, there's a place. is for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Let's sing, I am chosen.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me.
Yes, I am
who you say I am. Oh, who the Son sets free. Oh, He's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Sets free,
who the Son sets free. Oh, He's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. And in my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
I'm chosen.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
Oh, I am.
Oh, I am who you say I am. Yes, I am who you say I am.
Lord, we just thank you for that truth this morning, that you never leave us nor forsake us. And as we continue to worship you this morning, we just pray that we would always keep that truth in mind. In Jesus' name, amen.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns His face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
Behold the man.
Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice cry out among the scoffers. It was my sin
not boast. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Let's sing. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. But this I know. But this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. God, we just thank You that You've paid our ransom. That nothing we could ever do could ever earn Your love, but You give it to us freely. So we thank You, God, for allowing us to worship You. We thank You for loving us. We just ask that through Your word preached this morning, that we'd become more and more like You. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Awesome. Would you guys take a seat as you direct your attention to the video above?
From Northern California, from the Silicon Valley, and like a lot of teenagers, I kind of hit a wall and started to doubt a little bit about Christ my last year of high school. But it wasn't until I went to college where I started to learn about the Gospels of Christ and how to love people, how to love the poor, and that's when I really felt like I wanted to serve Him in whatever way He had for me. I ended up working in affordable housing, serving the poor in Los Angeles for a few years, and I moved into the local community, but I didn't speak any Spanish. So a friend of mine suggested that I go to Guatemala and that I learn some Spanish. So I went and fell in love with the country. And that's where I met my wife, Leslie. We ended up serving there for about 16 years. Just seeing locals share the word has been a passion of ours for many years, whether it be in Latin America or in the Middle East. And it's just wonderful to have very international teams and seeing the love of God and the diversity of God on a team serving the Lord together. We are planning to leave for Egypt this summer. The Lord has opened up an amazing opportunity to help our organization start a new mobilization base or a sending base for Arab speakers that want to serve the Lord and plant churches in the Middle East. The church in the Middle East has unfortunately had kind of a bunker mentality for many years. Their freedom has been very limited. Their opportunities have been, well, illegal to share the word. And so for them, the whole idea of the Great Commission is something that many of them have just forgotten about and just decided to deal with people inside the four walls of the church. And so we're in the process of helping to rediscover, I guess you could say, the Great Commission within the church. Well, I think the first thing is just to know what's going on in the world, to be informed. Knowing what's happening in the world, there's lots of different ways to pray. Prayer is really the way that any missionary can be successful. I mean, it's God's work, it's His kingdom, but prayer is the way that the battle is won. And so, you know, as we enter what some people say is a new normal, maybe we've had it kind of easy. We haven't faced a lot of persecution. We haven't faced a lot of obstacles. The country's been very prosperous, but really life includes lots of challenges, whether it be personal, whether it be on a national level, and God is the one that gets us through it. And He uses all of those challenges for His kingdom.
Bonjour, FBC. Bonjour. All right, my name is Charles. I am one of the mission board members. Surprise. Well, not really. So I'm pretty sure you guys did watch the video. So it was right here. Okay, here's the deal. It's been I don't know how many years, when was the last time we introduced to you guys, we finally get a brand new missionaries. So he will be, as he just described, they will be in Egypt trying to proclaim the gospel, where not that much many people be able to hear about God. So that will be the mission where God going to use them, Mike and Leslie. And then we all know about FBC, how long we've been in this place, that God been using this church to create the disciples to go out and proclaim the gospel. And then this is a very, very big piece of this church about mission, whether we're doing it local, Mason County, outside of the state, or overseas, Haiti, Honduras, Nicaragua, Romania, and then beyond the different places. But the deal is this morning, I want each one of you kind of take a little moment and then pray for Mike and Leslie and their son, Jeremy, that God can be with them and protect them. It's not going to be easy for them, because that happened to them before, where they go places where they don't like Christian, they just kick you out. That's where they are right now. They're going to try again. But we feel like we can support them, because it's about God. It's not us. There's nothing we can do about it. It's not under our control. God, he's the one who is in control. We just hear, and then God use us. And then as a church, we just want to keep them in prayer and pray for them that they can have the strength and they can have the power. Meanwhile, there is more information about them. So if you need more information, and then if you have more questions, just find somebody. Find James, he's on the board. Find Bob, he's on the board. And then we got Josie Walker, and then Mike and Claire, Betty Joe, and then if you see me, leave me alone. So just pray for them, and then, you know, God always, and then he always done that, he always make a way, so that way they can go and then proclaim the gospel.
Hey, before you leave, what's the name of our new missionaries?
Mike and Leslie, plus their son, Jeremy.
Yeah. Am I on here? Yes, we are. Okay, great. Can we pray for them? So if you didn't catch that, first time we've brought new missionaries into support in the last, I don't know how many years, and we are rejoicing that we get to use all the money that we give together for the kingdom here, but for the kingdom out there. And so, Charles, do you mind praying? Give you back the mic, pray for them.
Yes, all right. I got the mic. Heavenly Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for this family. Thank you for this place. You put this place right here in Shelton to proclaim your gospel. You use each one of us to shine your love. You put your blood on the cross for us. And we want to use that to share the word of your love to the other ones. Thank you for Mike and Leslie and their son Jeremiah, that they are in the middle of nowhere, where that's not in some way where they belong, but they pretty much risking their lives for you. And then we know that you're going to protect them and then give them strength and courage, so that way they can keep talking about you and to proclaim your name, that you are God and then you're still alive. And then thank you for this church. Thank you for this family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Charles. Appreciate it. Well, good morning, church. Just want to make sure, if you're on the missions board, we just shared a new mission. If you're on the missions board, can you stand up real quick? Stand up. I know you didn't know I was going to do this, but stand up. If you have questions about our new missionaries, those are the people. Charles says don't talk to him. Right there, people. You guys can sit down. Thank you so much. One of the beauties of getting to serve in this particular church is this is a generous body. And God uses your money globally. And we're not the first generation to do this. Since this church was founded, missions has been core, going out to the ends of the earth. And I just, sometimes it's so exciting to get to celebrate that God is using what we give to further the gospel. So one more announcement before we get going. Next week, during first service, you have an opportunity, if you'd like, to join in on what we're calling a connecting class. So if you have children in Sunday school, you can put them in Sunday school. And the class is an opportunity, one, to learn what this particular church believes. And spoiler, there's no surprises in there. There's going to be a lot of Jesus, a lot of Bible. So you're invited to come learn what we believe, learn how we kind of run the church, how we do those things, and then you'd be invited to be a member if you'd like. So if you are saying, hey, I want to be a member of First Baptist, I mean, who doesn't? Yeah, thank you. 9 o'clock, come on over. If you're new and you're like, okay, I'm trying to get to know this church. What do they believe? What are they thinking? Come on over. First service next week. We'll be done by about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. No, just kidding. We'll be done by second service. And so particularly those with little ones, this is such a good opportunity because there's childcare there. If you don't have little ones, maybe you're a high school student, maybe you're post little children, come on over next week over there. It's October, you guys. I'm going to share something that scared me this week. In staff meeting, we started talking about Christmas. Yeah, that was actually less woohoo. It was more terrifying. I don't know if this is just God's providence, Pastor Jake's planning, but we're going to talk about fear this morning. Timely in October, but maybe even more timely in this place, in life, in this country. There are fears all over. As I talked to people this week, I got to talk about fear, and fear is invading from big things to little things to things that are going to happen, you know, job loss and challenges and health, to things that we make up in our mind like this is going to happen and there's no chance it's going to happen. Fear is everywhere. And in the middle of all of this fear, here's what I'm going to be inviting us to do, to remember, do not be afraid, God is with you. Let me pray. We're going to jump into God's word. Father, I thank you for these missionaries because you have given us good news to take to the ends of the earth, God. We aren't taking our culture. We aren't trying to make little disciples of James. We are bringing you, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And in that, God, you have given us all that we need to overcome fear and anxiety. And God, it's everywhere and it gets in our soul. And Lord, you have brought us freedom in Jesus. So I pray that the words that I shared this morning are sensitive, are true, and ultimately from you, God. All the pieces that are from you, I pray they just stick into our heart, in our mind, in our soul. In the name of Jesus, amen. So if you have a Bible, we are in Luke 21. And right now, again, context, Luke 21, Jesus is a day or so away from the cross. He's a day or so away from his final journey to be crucified, which also means, this is a good part, he's about half a week away from being the first and only person to conquer death. Like, that's good news. That's coming up in just a week and a half in his timeline. He's going to conquer death and then give us that victory. On the way out, Jesus has this message about the future. And if you've been here the last couple of weeks, Jake's been unpacking that. And he gives this message, and part of it is about the near future. It's about coming into this country in, not this country, the country that he's talking to, about 70 AD, most of these people will watch their temple be destroyed, and they will watch their people scattered. So Jesus predicts that. In this passage, he also is talking about the big forward future when Jesus comes back and ultimately claims his throne. Church, Jesus is coming back, right? Amen. Yeah, he's coming. He's going to put an end to all war and all pain and all injustice. He's going to bring with him triumph that never ends, and that's coming. But in this passage, he's talking about the daily life of here and now. And that's where we're going to focus. We're going to focus on Jesus' words as they hit the here and the now. And so we're in Luke 21. We're going to open up to verse 9. So if you're following along, it'll be up there as well. These are Jesus' words. He says, "When you hear of wars and tumult, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." And then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes, and in various places famine and pestilence, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven." This message is pretty much verbatim in three of the four Gospels. And Jesus says in various ways, do not be terrified, do not be alarmed, do not be afraid. In the Bible, God says through his prophets, through his word, about 365 times, do not be afraid. 365 times. God must know that his kids need to hear it, right? If God says it over and over, it means we need to hear it. And parents in this room, you get this. Because in your home are repeated phrases like, don't hit your sister. Do your homework. Put on a coat. Brush your teeth. Because those, like, four things over and over. And God doesn't have to repeat the things we don't do all the time. Thinking about it this week, it reminded me of when one of my sons was about three, and he's taking a bath, and I'm sorry, that son's actually in the room. I'm sorry, I'm going to tell the story. he's taking a bath, and I'm sitting there like you do so your kids don't drown, and I look away for half a second, and I look back, and he's got a twisty straw sucking the water out of the bath. So I quickly grab it, and I say these famous words, don't drink water that your butt is in. Like that is, that I only had to say that once, right? One time. God has to tell us over and over and over, do not be afraid, because we run so quickly at fear. We're fragile. And the world is seemingly out of control, and it pushes us to fear over and over. And in this context, this is what I always love about Jesus. He's so straight about things. He never promises anything different. He tells them, hey, actually, here's what's coming up. There's going to be war and abuse, and people are going to do bad things. There'll be rumors of wars. That nation's getting missiles or has weapons of mass destruction, or that army's getting bigger. And then Jesus goes on in his pep talk and he says, hey, there's going to be famine and plague and tornadoes and crazy signs in heaven. And really, even in this time when that temple falls, there's a historian, Josephus, and he records as the temple falls in 70 AD, there's a comet that's like sword-shaped in the sky. The world's falling apart. And in the middle of that, that scary reality, Jesus says, this isn't the end. And he said, more importantly, this is not the end of God's love for you. All these things invoke real fear, except God has called us to fight against it. Not just try harder and be brave, but to actively get in the battle against our instinct to go to fear. Like, get in the battle. To replace fear with faith, to replace fear with God's Spirit coming alive in you, to get in the fight so you can live as God has called you to live as you have been redeemed to live. We're going to get in a fight this morning. You guys ready for that? We're going to get in the fight against fear. And so I have three things, three facts I want to share about fear, and then three ways I'm going to invite us all to get into this. First thing I want to talk about, fear is contagious. Last 18 months, we've learned anything is how quickly things can spread. Not just disease, but movements. Information spreads so quick. Not all of it's fact-checked. Ideas spread quick. Fear spreads quick. Anger spreads quickly. Anxiety comes into our lives, and not just big things, but little things. Like those places are, will I have a job? Will my kids be okay? Will my roof not leak? All those places come in here. And I want to illustrate just how deeply contagious fear is by reminding us, if we can, of an Old Testament story. So if you have your Bible open, we're going to spend our time, put a little bookmark, a thumb in Luke 21, and we're going to go all the way back to Numbers 13. Numbers 13. We're going to spend all of our time in these two places, really. And if you don't have it, that's okay. Numbers 13 records the story of the people of Israel, and they are standing on the edge of the promised land. People of Israel have been delivered from slavery by God himself, and they're standing on the edge of the promised land. God has rescued hundreds and hundreds of thousands of men, women, and children, and they stand there. And it's called the promised land because, catch this, God has promised it to them. The God of the universe has promised it. And he says, when you get there, that land will be full of milk and honey, which sounds like modern term for prime real estate, right? Milk and honey, it's got water, it's got food, it's got resources, and then it has one more thing, it has people. But the God of the universe has promised it, and this is the God that has pulled them out of slavery, which seemed impossible. This is the God of the universe that walked them across dry land in the middle of a sea and then collapsed that sea on the pursuing armies. The God who's promised this is the God who showed up on the mountain in a cloud and shook the earth, and he's promised it. And they stand there, and he tells Moses, send in spies. So they send in 12 spies, and they go spend 40 days in this land, and they come back. And I like to picture seeing them come back, and they're coming back, and they've got, the Bible records, this bunch of grapes, and these grapes are like the size of baseballs, and they come back, and they talk to the people, and they say, the land is everything God has promised and more. And then here's the report, picking up Numbers 13, verse 27. It says this, we came to the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. However, the people dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. They tell the people, there's food, there's water, everything God has promised, except there's enemies, and there's giant cities, and there's these descendants who are probably, some historians think, maybe a foot taller than them in height. If you think about the people of Israel, they're coming out of slavery. Right, not a lot of nourishment. And they get into this land, and these people are well-fed. They all look like the Rock. They're out there ripping coconuts in half with their bare hands. They don't wear sleeves because their arms are so, you know, jacked. They come back, and then the spies add stuff in there. In later verses, they're like, and there's like descendants of Nephilim, like half-angel people. Like, these people are crazy. Be afraid. And two spies protest. So 10 come back with a report. Two protest, Caleb and Joshua. And they say, let's go do it because God is with us. Let's go do it and we'll overcome. And the 10 spies say, no, our armies are like grasshoppers. And then they do the ultimate appeal. This is in the Bible. You can look at it there. Think of the women and children. They're like, we can't go in there. Think of the women and children. And here's what really happens. The fear of 10 people spread to hundreds of thousands of people, and they all doubt God. Fear wins over faith. The danger was real, but God was always bigger. The people probably did stand taller. Their weapons were better, but God was never out of control. God had promised the victory, and instead, they trust and embrace fear and go wander the desert for 40 years. Like, God's got it prepared in front of them, and they go wander for 40 years because fear is contagious. I'm gonna say this morning, we should be on the lookout for those spreading fear, and we should be careful how we do it. So I did something this week I haven't done in years. I watched cable news. Just gonna be honest, I don't watch cable news, and it's not because I want to be uninformed, but I don't love all the images coming at me, and I can't be discerning or thoughtful, and I can feel like my blood pressure goes up, and I start to get angry, and I want to go fight some causes. And so, because I want to be informed about what I'm about to say, I watch some cable news. To be equitable, I watched a few different channels. You probably have seen them before. I watched them for a little while, and then I cried in the corner for a bit. And here's what I learned, short time. We should all be very afraid. Here are the things. In just a short time that I saw we should be afraid of, depending on what station I was watching, we should be afraid of critical race theory coming in and changing everything. We should be afraid of conservatives blocking critical race theory and keeping systems of injustice. We should be afraid of China and some war that might happen in Taiwan. We should be afraid of conservatives bringing in Trump policies. We should be afraid of school boards and the way that they are controlling our children. We should be afraid of the parents that show up to the school boards. We should be afraid of the borders, depending on either immigrants or border. We should be afraid of so much. And then all around that, hear this, are commercials selling us things to fix that. Selling us a solution, Taco Bell, trucks, prescriptions, and mattresses. Why are there so many mattress commercials? Like, I don't know what's going on. So many. And I want to be clear so you don't have to email me. Those topics matter. Those topics matter. They deserve discussion. They deserve being held up to the light of Scripture and God's worldview. But there are all of these things that are pushing fear. And we're being sold fear in our culture right now. We're being sold a dystopia. And it just depends which station you listen to. They all have a dystopia they're trying to give you right now. And they want our hearts to be afraid and angry. And I don't think it's a grand conspiracy. In fact, what I see here is what psychologist Deborah Sereni sees. She writes this in Psychology Today. News is a money-making industry. One that doesn't always make the goal to report the facts accurately. She says this. Fear-based news stories prey on our anxieties that we all have, and they hold us hostage, and they glue us to our TVs, to the internet. They increase ratings by gluing us to this fear. And her point is, fear-based reporting keeps your eyes there because you can't pull it away. We all know this. We've all been there, right? We take our phones with us. You can't escape it. You're sitting there, and I'm just going to pick on me, and I'm like, oh, what's the tragedy now? What is going on? Fear is contagious. And like the spies coming back from the other side, it tells us something that isn't true. So the Israelites, they get all this information, and they're afraid, and I want to tell you what their solution is in case you don't know the story. Their solution when that fear comes is to go back to Egypt and go back and be a slave. Their solution isn't, God promised he's going to deliver. Their solution is, let's go back to the place that worked us nonstop. Let's go back to the place where they beat us. Let's go back to the place where they kill our sons. That's what fear does to us as it spreads. And to be honest, I think we might be a little more basic than that. The solution that we're sold is to hate those people, isolate from those people, buy a new mattress, get a new truck where when the tailgate comes down, it flips out and you can put Bluetooth speakers in there. Like, that's the solution. Be afraid and spread that fear. I'm not picking a culture because that's what happens when we don't have a God of the universe. We don't know him. He isn't our Father. He doesn't save us. But here's what God's word says to everyone who would believe in Jesus this morning. His word is so clear. This is Romans. It says, do not be conformed to the pattern of the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve God's will, his good, pleasing, perfect will. I'm going to land this plane in a minute, and we're going to fight fear together. But if this is as long as you can listen to me, I want to give you one thing here. Stop inviting fear and anxiety into your heart and your mind. Please hear me. Stop inviting it in. It's invasive. It infects us. It takes over us. Countless story after story does nothing to produce godliness. Please hear my heart. We are a fearful people, and there's plenty to be afraid of. Stop inviting it in. I'm going to give us another verse here. It says this from Romans, the spirit you receive, this is the Holy Spirit, does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Let's not go back to fear. Let's not go back to Egypt. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. And here's what that's saying. You have a dad that has invited you to come into his safe embrace. Don't trade that for fear. So number one, fear is contagious. Number two, fear reveals some false hopes, some false beliefs. So I've shared this before. I have a voice that always argues in my head. I got a little lawyer. And if that voice was there, if I were you, I might push back a little bit and be like, hey, James, there are wars. There's scary stuff out there. There's bad things. There's dangers. There's floods. And here's what Jesus would say. Yes, of course there are. Back to our Luke passage. If you put it your little bookmark in there, go back there. This is what Jesus says. When you hear about wars, and these are real and these are imagined, do not be terrified. These things must first take place. But the end will not be at once. Jesus says, hey, do not be terrified. Do not be afraid. This isn't the end. And those things you're afraid of probably will happen. Swinging back to Numbers, they're standing at that promised land. They're looking in there. And the answer isn't God could have wiped out all those armies. They're looking in there. And there really are dangers. It is terrifying. I have not been in a big fight as an adult man, but if you say, James, go in there and fight this battle, and these guys are, you know, this much bigger, and they have armor and swords, I'm scared. These are real. But fact number two is that fear reveals the places we have false hope. It reveals places we have false security in external things. I'm going to say that again. Reveals where we have security in external things. It reveals even more places we've bought into something God hasn't promised us. So we want to rest on the promises of God. But follow me here. God has not promised us external peace. And some of you guys are walking through stuff right now and you know this. You're living this right now. War is awful. Hurt is awful. But honestly, nothing on the nightly news should surprise us. If we read our Bible, the Apostle Paul says this. This is a book of Romans. He says, none is righteous, no, not one. He says this, no one understands, no one seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their mouths are full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. If we believe this, here's our answer to what's going on out there. The world is full of people rejecting God. And honestly, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the grace of God that comes through salvation, that's us. So of course the world is full of conflict. God hasn't promised us earthly safety. He hasn't promised us full shelves. He hasn't promised, here is our land full of milk and honey. In fact, he's told us the opposite. But yet he tells us to not be afraid. We see David talk about this in Psalm 118:6. He says, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Jesus doesn't want them to be surprised. Things are coming his way. For me, when I read this, I have to shift the view a little bit because wars, disasters, aren't the things that wake me up at 2 a.m. Anybody have those things sometimes that wake you up at 2 a.m.? I don't know why it's always 2 a.m. The things that wake me up at 2 a.m. are so much closer to home. Their fears, will my kids be okay? Will they love God or will they embrace the broken pieces of the world? 2 a.m. is when I want to figure out my finances. You know how it is. 2 a.m. is when I need to figure out family relationships. 2 a.m. is where everything comes in and all those anxieties pop up. I remember one time waking up, and it was probably right at 2 a.m., and I started thinking about my son. Is he going to pass that chemistry test? And here's where fear comes in, right? If he doesn't pass that chemistry test, he's going to fail high school. And when he fails high school, he's going to live on the streets. And on the streets, he's going to find heroin. And within like 10 minutes at 2 a.m., my son's addicted to heroin, right? Like those fears come in. We're afraid of failing. We're afraid of not being good enough. Man, so many of us have that. We're just not good enough. These are all real, and they matter to God. And what they reveal is where your hope is at. Is our hope in the promise of the unshakable, unstoppable, eternal, all-knowing, all-loving God, or is it in today? Is it a chemistry class or God's faithfulness? Am I the only one that gets those you got to get to fight in? We're going to talk about how to fight those in a minute, but I want to suggest this. Something I've been trying to do. When those fears come up, don't just squish them down. I pull on that thread a little bit. And I want to find out where that thread's going. What about God am I doubting? Am I doubting that he loves my kids? Okay, sometimes I am. Am I doubting that he's going to be faithful? Well, he's been faithful before. Pull that thread and see where it goes so that you can fight that fear. Get after that false hope. So fear is contagious. Don't let it in. Don't spread it. Fear reveals false hopes. I'm gonna say this last one, I think most important. Fear is a liar. Finally, God tells us over and over, Jesus says here, don't be afraid, because embracing fear is embracing a lie. Fear, at its core, is a liar because it tells us things that are contrary to God's character, God's promise, God's plan, and God's purpose. Fear tells us things that are simply not true. And some of you need to hear this morning. Fear is a liar. The lie being told the people of Israel is that God is not stronger than those cities. God is weaker than the surrounding armies. That God is not in control. That God cannot be trusted. That God doesn't really care about them, their family, and their life. The lie is that if we trust God, he's not going to show up when we need him. That's so easy to believe. It's so real for so many of us. I don't know what fear is telling you this morning, but in my experience the last couple weeks in particular, there's just fear all over. I have it. We have it. And it comes in and starts to tell us things that aren't true about God. And those lies become crippling, and they stop us from living out in the joy of the Lord. They stop us from moving forward into the places God has told us to go. So here's a place where I'm just honest. I have these fears that come in and throughout my Christian walk have been crippling. I don't like having them. Sometimes I'm embarrassed. Fears that come in and tell me, hey, you are not good enough. Fears that come in and say, you know what, if you do that, you're going to fail or be embarrassed or whatever it is. God's not going to show up. Fears that come in and stop me from running straight into the place God has promised to meet me. How about you guys? You ever get those fears and they stop you from going directly where God told you to go? Because you can think of all the bad things that are going to happen. Think about this in my life in my 20s. Some of you know my story, but Julia and I, my wife, we had two kids really early. We had two before we were 21. And there I find myself in my early 20s, a guy who I have a job, but the job isn't going anywhere. And I feel like God's calling me to more in my early 20s. And so I believe at that time he's saying, James, go back to school. Go back to college. And I'd stopped going to college when I had kids. And I'm a few years out, and here comes fear. Fear comes in and it tells me a couple of things. James, you don't have time because you'll be a bad dad if you do that. And again, I feel God calling me over here. James, you don't have the money for it. But here's the big one. You will fail if you try. Anybody get that one? You will fail if you try. And in my brain, I invent this whole scenario where the first paper that I turn into college, the teacher comes up and holds it up and has a big F on it, right? They don't even do that. But in my brain, that's what they're going to do. Or I'm going to get to class and I won't remember how to do math. Like literally won't remember how to do math. Looking back, I see God in my early 20s, in my walk, opening a door, inviting me to come through. And here's what fear did. It took me 15 years to go back. 15 years. Part of one of the blessings of getting to work here was the expectation that I continue my education. And so I'd love to say that I just got brave after 15 years. But I had to face it. God pushed me into there, and he's like, I'm with you. And so 15 years ago, I go into this college counselor's office, and I try to be cool, but I'm like pitted out, you know. And again, fear tells me when I get in there, he's going to laugh and look at my transcripts and say, go home, son. I don't know what I think. I'm just afraid. I go in there, and he sets me on a path. So I sign up for two classes because I can handle two classes, and I have to write papers, and I have to do math. Like, God knows what he's doing. And so the first paper I write comes back and the grade's fine. And all of a sudden I started learning and I was like, oh, I know how to do this. And I took math and all of a sudden, you know what? I remembered how to do math. And more importantly, what fear had blocked me from, I've always been kind of a lifelong learner. I like learning new things. I like school. I like all these things. I liked it the whole time, but fear told me, no, don't go there. You might fail. And hear this, even if I had failed, God was with me. Even if I had failed, it doesn't matter. God told me to go there, and I had to fight it. And I have this white little notebook, and on the inside, I wrote down these verses and these purposes because they are true no matter what. For 15 years, I let fear stop me from doing what God called me to do. And it's so easy for us to buy this lie, and some are real and some are imaginary. And then David says this, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I'm going to add this part. Who can stop that? He made heaven and earth. And I want to make sure you don't hear regret. I love what God's done, but hear one struggler confessing to other strugglers that we let fear stop us from going to the places God has invited us. Where has fear gripped your heart today? And maybe it is those big things. Maybe it is all those things on Fox News or CNN or wherever you get your information. But maybe, and this is where I think it's probably more likely, it's smaller. It's your family, it's your job, it's your future. Will I find somebody to marry? Will they want to marry me back? Will I have money when I retire? These all matter. Where are those places? And God tells us not to overcome fear on our own, but to invite him into that process because he's there. And sometimes we need to do this daily. And so this is what I'm going to invite us to do. We're going to get to the good part here. We're going to go into the fight against fear. We're going to go into the battle. I'm going to invite us in to three verses this morning that are true. And when I use this word true, I mean they are true whether I say they're true or not because they come from God. I'm going to invite us into the fight. So the next time you wake up at 2 a.m., you've got some words to speak at that fear. The next time you get to the end of the day and you find that you watched 6 hours of cable news because you couldn't pull yourself away, you've got words to fight there. The next time you get that phone call or that diagnosis or your kids are sideways, you've got the words. I'm going to invite you into a fight here, and I'm going to invite you into doing it a little bit different this week. Let me share three verses. They're in your bulletin. I'm going to invite you to memorize them this week. We're going to write them on our hearts and our souls. They have about 20 words. And if three verses too much, that's okay. Pick one and just memorize it over and over. You guys ready to get in the fight with me? Can we do this? Okay, good. So the number one thing we're doing when we get in the fight is we're going to remember that God is with you. Joshua 1:9 says this, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And here's the reason why. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. In this story of the people of Israel, they come to the promised land. This is Numbers 13 again. And they stand there and they stare into the promised land and fear gets a hold of them. 10 people say, don't go forward. And yet there's these two guys, Caleb and Joshua, yelling, let's do it. And the people turn around and they run and they wander for 40 years. 40 years. And then they come back, and there's Joshua, now the leader. And they get to the edge of the promised land. And you know what God didn't do? He didn't wipe out the cities and the dangers. They're there. And if anything, the armies are bigger this time. But he puts Joshua in charge, and he leads them to the promised land, and he gives Joshua this verse, this truth, these words. And he gives it to us, and he says, do not be afraid, because the world-changing, earth-shaking God of the universe is going with you into battle. God is with you. And church, this is the first one, verse I want us to work on memorizing. To start there, do you guys mind? Can we just read this together? You read this together. Okay, this is Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's a battle cry. This is a battle cry, not against the world out there, right? This is a battle cry against those fears that creep into our lives and tell us that we're on our own. This is a battle cry against fear that would tell us anything contrary to what God has promised. He says, have faith, not that you're so smart or you're so strong. Have faith because I'm God. This is a declaration that God is with me. Romans puts it this way. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? There is no battle, there is no challenge, there is no place, there is no moment you go it alone if you are a Christian. Not a single place ever. And we serve a God who is unstoppable. Even death cannot stop him. Even death cannot stop him. Number one, that's how we get in the battle, number one. Number two, we find a better peace. So our second verse is important because we want to not fall into this trap of self-reliance and then here judging safety by external things. And I'm just going to admit, I get this trap, right? When my bank account's like right here, I have a number. Man, I feel like the world is safe. Sometimes we feel safe when the stores are stocked. We feel safe when our political person is in power. And Jesus is coming in this verse I share to give you a different peace that relies zero on yourself and the world around us. And that's John 14:27. Jesus says this. This is our second verse we're going to work on memorizing. It says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Jesus is giving these words to his disciples, and he promises them peace and a relief to fear. And I want us to hear that key phrase. That key phrase is, I do not give you peace as the world gives. The world looks for peace, and I'm not picking on them. They're sheep without a shepherd. But for Christians, we don't have that kind of peace. They look for peace and all the things being right around them. Politicians, money, people, relationships, whatever it is, that is the safe place. When our roof doesn't leak, when Russell Wilson has two hands, those are the places of safety. And the world feels secure. And Jesus is promising his disciples peace, but you know what he's sending them to? A world that will beat them and take their possessions. These are guys that some days will be in jail and some days be free. These are guys that will preach sermons sometimes and 5,000 will get saved. And they'll preach sometimes and they'll be run out of town. And he says, I'm giving you peace and that peace is me. So read this with me. John 14:27. We're going to read this one together. It says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. This verse is here, and we put it in our hearts to remind us that not for a second, is our bravery, our peace, our hope in this external world. Not for a moment. It is found solely in Christ. And here's this beauty. In that Luke 21 passage, in a few days from now, he's going to go to the cross and be buried. And I just got to imagine for everybody there, it looked like the dangers of the world had won. It looked like the dangers had won. And here's Jesus coming out of the tomb victorious. He won. He won the battle. And he's saying, I'm giving that to you, and that's your peace. I'm giving you my peace. That cannot be taken from us, right? The peace and the victory of Jesus cannot be taken. Those fears are real, and the mess will come. And the promise isn't even that the worst won't happen. It's that the victory's already been won, and not even death can take that from us. Even death cannot rob us when our peace is in Christ alone. So God is with us. Jesus has given us an untouchable peace in him. And then the last one is we need to preach to our soul's truth. That's why we're memorizing scripture. So go and read with me this one. This is Psalm 118:6. says this, "The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" This is written by most likely King David a few thousand years ago. And in these verses, he's doing something vital. He's doing something vital. He's meeting anxiety and fear, those 2 a.m. things, those TV things that come in, the real things, the fake things, all of those, with the Word of God. Church, this is what we meet our fear with God's truth. And I want to say this, when I read Psalm 118, I hear a man commanding his soul. So this is poetry, but I don't hear it like, "Hey soul, don't be afraid. Try to be brave." Like, I don't hear that at all. What I believe is he's yelling at his soul. Maybe this is that moment he's in the cave and he's sweating for his life and he's surrounded by armies and everything's pushing in and nothing looks like it's going to work out. And he gets angry and he gets passionate and he yells at his soul. He says, "The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do?" He gets in there and he commands his fear with the Word of God. We're scared people so often. God's word is right here for us to bring us hope, to bring us peace. I don't know what your battle is this morning, but I know in this room that there are battles right now, like deep fears. And we need a battle cry that God has given us, not based in our own self, but in the eternal God. That psalm is here to declare over and over with passion and a loud voice. I am suggesting maybe get a little shouty in your car as you're memorizing this one. Raise your voice. Freak out your family. Yell in the bathroom when you're memorizing it if you got it on the mirror. That's okay. That's okay. Let's get loud. Let's get intense. Let's get in the battle. I will not be afraid because the Lord is with me. So we're going to get to respond. I'm going to encourage you this week, pick one of those and memorize it. I'm going to pray Romans 8:15 over us in just a moment, and then I'm going to invite you to sing loud what is true. I'm going to pray this over us. Romans 8:15 says this, "The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again." Church, may we not live in fear. May we live with the Spirit that brings peace. "Rather, the Spirit you received has brought you into adoption. If you have placed your faith in Jesus, you are a son or daughter of the King," and we cry out, "Abba, Father," familiar, crawl up into his arms where there's safety that cannot be taken. God, I pray this for our church in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Are you guys singing with us? "You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave. Oh, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. I'm For I am a child of God. You split the sea. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears would drown in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. You split the sea. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears would drown in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. One more time, let's sing that in celebration. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. Amen. Well, thank you guys so much for being with us this weekend. We'll see you guys next Sunday.